Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a great time we had at church yesterday in Arvada, Denver Bible Church. But there were a number of our church members missing. They weren't there. We tried to figure out why. Was there a special dispensation or something? It turns out that they went to the Gate Pride Parade downtown Denver. I mean, could you believe it? A conservative church like ours, we have members who go to the Denver Gate Pride Parade. So this is Monday now, June 21st, and the elders put a call out to try to get some accountability back in our congregation. And we wanted to talk to somebody in the group that went to the homosexual pride parade. And we found Joe Scott. So Joe's here.
Hi, Joe, Bob.
Welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Thank you.
Joe Scott of Pro Life Colorado. Joe, what are you guys doing going to a gay pride? I don't even like to say the term gay pride, a homosexual perversion parade. What are you guys doing going to that thing?
We are evangelizing. We are a mile marker for Christ on the side of the road as the perverts prance past us.
Wow.
Well,
you say perverts. Now, there was an article in the local media saying that these gay pride parades are hurting the homosexual community because of how perverse they are.
They're very perverse.
Very perverse. Some of my own family members went to the parade as a witness for the Lord to say this filth and this perversion is, of course, God says it's an abomination. There are other things that are abomination too, but it's especially evil when you glory in your filth and your perversion, and then you do it in front of children.
Do it in front of children, and also there was at least 15 churches in
right
along in the parade. So they're mocking God.
Mocking the name of Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
These horribly perverse people doing really disgusting things on the street right alongside a church that's cheering them.
So in the past, you'd have your standard garden variety sin where, let's say, a boss is cheating on his wife with his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame, and that destroys marriage. It destroys people's hearts, souls. God hates it because he hates the things that destroy us. So our sin grieves God. He grieves.
But that's done in secret.
That's typically done in secret. And when it's exposed, people deny it. They're ashamed, and they face consequences. But the further you get away from God, the more you get to utterly open rebellion where you're shaking your fist in God's face, you are saying, we are proud of our sexual morality. God says he made us male and female. We reject that. Right. We will define for ourselves what is right and wrong, and we will do it and teach our children and teach the world to join us in our rebellion against the Christian morality that's in God's word.
That's right. That's exactly what goes on at the gay pride parade.
So I had people telling me that they saw, you know, for one, nudity, just flat out nudity.
Yes.
But for two, how many men, grown men, that are virtually naked?
Oh, yeah.
Two or three?
No. I couldn't tell you how many dozens and dozens. I mean, that's the whole gist of the parade is half-dressed or naked people.
Yeah. So dozens, 100? No?
At least more than 100.
How many men, I'm asking, we have a studio audience, how many men were in the parade, the homosexual parade yesterday downtown Denver that were nearly naked?
All the floats, practically.
All the floats, so dozens of men.
Yeah.
And there's children there, not only on the side of the parade, but in the parade.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have them on the floats waving, you know.
And there's also nudity, just flat out nudity.
Absolutely.
And the police, they don't care because they say, well, remember, they say that it's legal to be naked in public in Denver,
right,
to do tanning, sunbathing.
Mm-hmm.
They've said that, and they say that for the homosexuals because the homosexuals pushed that and knocked down that boundary at Cheeseman Park.
Right.
And that's what happens. God, for our health and well-being, because he loves us, he gives us boundaries. And he says, for example, sexual relations only within marriage. But then people in rebellion against God say, you're not going to tell me what to do. I don't have to be married.
Right.
And God says, oh, and by the way, only with someone of the opposite sex, the opposite gender. And people say, you're not going to tell me what to do. And then, of course, there are those who advocate with different species, like bestiality. And it's so bizarre. In Douglas County, the zoning code that they were adopting countywide, recommended by their county attorney, actually stated in it that entertainment venues would be permitted to use bestiality with animals, sex with animals, within the boundaries of Douglas County. That's part of the standard zoning code, like the blue book, the official zoning code. And two members of our audience, Bob and Yurt Live, were on the county zoning commission, mm-hmm. and they pitched a fit. And they said, we are not going to approve this. This is getting out of the zoning code. And so they did succeed. But the whole effort to take our culture and degrade it and replace the healthy lives that God wants for us with filth and perversion.
It's a massive effort, and it's everywhere. It's really, really sad. And you see it in the young people. Mm. You see that they've never been in a culture that has embraced decency. And they don't have the idea of decency that I have.
Yeah.
They don't have even
know what
a frame.
It means to, you're worth waiting for.
Right.
Wait until marriage. They don't know what that means. So a young girl, boy, we have a famous person now just joined the studio audience.
Yeah.
This is pretty fun. We have a young girl who's never heard that she's worth waiting for and that marriage was given to her by God to bless her in her relationship and family and children and grandchildren her whole life. And so instead of that, she trades all that off to be used by a never-ending series of boyfriends who use her and reject her.
Right.
And so she gets disease, HPV, human papillomavirus, all the STDs. Her heart gets torn in pieces. She ends up growing a hard outer shell. And her rebellion against God grows deeper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're up against.
It is what we're up against.
So, Joe, you went with a camera. You went with a camera this time for mm-hmm. a reason, right?
Yeah, I did.
Now, we often have cameras at our pro-life protest, abortion clinics, and all the activist things we do. But you especially wore a camera. You wore a camera.
Yeah, I did.
This time. Why?
It was strapped to my chest, so I had hands free, because you don't ever want your hands where you can't at least protect your face if you have to. But I wore it because I'm on a restraining order against a woman.
This is a brand new development now.
Right. There's a restraining order on me for a woman that I don't know.
So you don't know. So you have a restraining order. Basically, you can't approach any woman in the state of Colorado that you don't know.
That's right, because it may be the woman I'm restrained from. I have no clue. They
no
didn't,
idea.
They didn't approach me about this.
This was
particular
a Planned Parenthood scam thing,
right?
That the Denver DA's office and the Denver County courts have conspired to get you to stay away from the abortion clinic. Because when you save 80 to 100 babies a year, what do they charge to kill a baby?
Well, they charge about $450, but they also get their $80 for the ultrasound. And that's only for first trimester. As the babies get older, they get more money. And then they sell mm-hmm. the parts, so they get more money that way. So you can look at over $100,000 a year that they're not.
$100,000, and they literally, I mean, you're not making this up. They
no.
kill the baby, the child in the womb, and then they take the parts and they sell the parts. And
right.
there are even part lists.
Mm-hmm.
Like University Hospital will do research, CU, they'll do research in Boulder, the University of Colorado, and they buy these baby parts.
I was in a Senate committee hearing where Dr. Kirk Fried from Colorado University said he had a full-time harvester at Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood.
Just
so that's University Hospital on what is that, Colorado Boulevard?
Ninth, is that?
Yeah,
is
Ninth in Colorado. And Doctor Who?
Kurt Fried.
And he is a full-time harvester at the Planned Parenthood child killing facility because they're harvesting body parts
to experiment with for Parkinson's and
like
different Dr. diseases.
Like Dr. Mengele.
Yeah.
And all. Yeah.
Yeah,
so they kill the children who are unwanted. They say that they're property, not persons. That's why Amendment 62's slogan is persons, not property.
Right. Great
persons,
slogan.
Persons, not property. Yeah. And the official Bible verse of the personhood amendment is Jeremiah 1:5. God knew me in the womb.
Right.
Wow.
Before he
formed me in the womb, he knew me.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God for the Amendment 62 campaign. But you were accused of, now this is hysterical, Joe. A lot of people know you. A lot of people know you.
Yeah.
You were accused of assaulting a woman. Now, I don't know if Greg Jackson has heard this story. I don't know if Greg Jackson, you know.
I know Greg, that famous author.
One of the best-selling authors from the Conservative Book Club.
Yeah.
Conservative Comebacks to Liberalize.
Right.
Greg Jackson, he's here in the studio. Hi, Greg. I don't know if he's heard this about Joe Scott, but Joe Scott was accused in jail by an anonymous accuser.
Right.
Right.
Wait, they approached me 42 days after the supposed incident.
There was a supposed incident that didn't occur.
Didn't occur.
But here's the anonymous accuser said Joe Scott grabbed her, was shaking her, and yelling curse
shouting
words at
obscenities
her.
Is how the DA
shouting obscenities
put it.
I mean, everyone, Joe, who knows you, everyone who knows you knows that they're lying, and there is 24-hour video surveillance.
Oh, they have a video.
The abortion clinic.
They have
so,
a video.
Yeah, so hopefully you're looking forward to seeing another video, right?
Yeah, because if they have a video of that going on,
yeah,
you can bet your bottom dollar it's not me.
It's somebody in a blonde frizzy wig.
You had to bring that
now,
up.
Now, wait, I wouldn't say that, but Westword did an article about Joe Scott. And when it was Westword is our underground newspaper in
It's kind
Denver.
Of a rag, yeah.
Yeah, it's a filthy rag. But they did an article about you, and it was coming out. We were waiting for it to hit the streets, and I called you up, and I said, Joe, it's worse than you could ever imagine.
I remember.
And you said, why? What did they say? I said, they called you a frizzy-haired woman.
Frizzy-headed blonde.
Frizzy-headed blonde. So anyway, maybe they got some woman, maybe Vicky Snow, or maybe some woman who works or used to work at Planned Parenthood, and they got a blonde wig on her, and they had her attack somebody.
This is just insane.
It's absolutely insane. So the judge, there were two judges. The first judge sort of saw through it a bit and said, look, you're not going to use this as a way of denying Joe Scott her free speech rights.
Right.
You're not going to do that.
Right. But
so they switched judges.
Yeah, I got another judge, and I walked in the DA.
And this is a week later, another judge.
Right, a few days. It's 3 days later.
New judge, old judge, didn't want a restraining order to take away your free speech rights.
Right.
New judge.
I get a new judge. The new judge, the DA, says that I've been shouting obscenities and shaking this woman and harassing her. And he said I assaulted her, and I said I'm not charged with assault. And the judge said I was charged with assault. I said, I have my ticket right here. There's no charge of assault. And she goes, I have your I tried to give her my ticket. And she said, I have your information. She would not let me speak. Every person that went before me, the DA presented his case, and then the person got to talk, you know, and tell their side of the story. She would not let me. I had to force her.
Mm.
So when I had to sign the restraining order, I signed it under protest. And I also objected to it on the record.
Good,
because
Joe.
It was just a railroad job,
mm-hmm.
which is expected, unfortunately. We can expect our courts to be as evil and as despicable as possible towards someone. I'm somebody's grandmother.
You're a grandma, and you're there saving babies.
Yeah.
And they fabricate this, which is not surprising.
No.
If they kill children, certainly they'll lie.
Well, murderers aren't going to lie. I mean, that's a stretch.
Right. And God said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've broken one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, they've broken a lot more than one, but that's another one.
Well,
that
they've broken. Do not murder is another one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also do not covet. And what's so interesting, one of our dear friends, Bob and Yurt Live, is a federal law enforcement officer.
Right.
And he has pointed out that in the Ten Commandments, when it says, thou shalt not covet, that goes to motive. And quite often in court, it's helpful to be able to show the motive. So there's an illicit affair and somebody murders a husband. So you see the motive, you look at the evidence, and you convict for murder.
Right.
Wow. So, Joe Scott, at the homosexual pride parade yesterday, you were wearing a camera just in case somebody walks up to you
and says hello. I say hello, and then she said, she's talked to me. I'm the one she's
restrained
from.
You violated the restraining order.
And she's been cussing at me again, all that. So I had everything I did.
Videotaped.
Record, everything.
That was good because the crowd, the riffraff, sort of gave you your own bubble.
It was
the bubble law in reverse.
Yeah, it was. Usually I'm assaulted by these women. And they just surround me, and they think I'm going to try and get away from them. What I do is I lean into their ear, and I tell them about Jesus, which makes them run. And so yesterday, I was a little disappointed because I only got to tell one woman about Jesus at the Gay Pride Parade that way. But when I would tell her, I would tell her about how Jesus died for her, and she would shout it to across the street, and they would cheer. Mm. Whatever I was saying in her ear, that was kind of fun.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So, Joe, we should talk to somebody else who was there.
Yes.
But the bottom line is Christians were at the homosexual pride parade to be a testimony that you're destroying your life, you're destroying others. God made you male and female. Don't be in denial, but turn to God. Mm-hmm. He will save you.
That's what my sign said. Come to Jesus for peace and salvation.
Wow, that's great. Now, could we talk to the founder of the Collaborators Project, who gave Planned Parenthood an awful lot of difficulty with the Whites Corporation mm-hmm. who built them? But Will Duffy, Will, could you come and tell us your experience at the homosexual parade yesterday?
Yeah, thanks, Bob, for having me on. And thanks, Joe, for the invitation yesterday.
Yeah, I was thrilled that you accepted, Will.
Yeah, it was my first time at the homosexual pride parade downtown, and it was really an eye-opener, you know, just seeing how really gross and perverse these people are, and it was just flaunted outside downtown right in front of everybody.
Did you realize that there were almost 3 hours of floats, almost 3 solid hours of what you would call floats or displays going by us of people that wanted to be in that parade, the politicians, the churches, the businesses. Is that shocking to you?
Yes, it never seemed to end, and it was really shocking to see how many churches were actually in the parade.
Alongside of naked women and perverse men kissing one another, and the women doing the same. And did you notice the kinds of dancing and things that were going on there?
Yeah, it was all just really despicable and gross. Practically, you know, the men tried to wear as little as they could. And it was just gross, you know. And I had one experience where I actually, you know, was talking to a homosexual by you at one point. And he didn't like my sign. I was holding a sign that said diversity is perversity, which diversity obviously is a code name nowadays for homosexuality. And homosexuality is a perversity. And he was talking like a girl, acting like a girl, dressed like a girl. And I asked him if he thought he was normal. And he said, yeah. And I said, then why are you talking and acting like a girl? And he became very offended at that. And he kind of stepped up at me and started telling me how upset he was.
Well, he said, I was there. And he said, do I sound like a girl to you? I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And as he got more upset and trying to intimidate me, his voice got deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah,
and eventually it was just his normal voice. And I showed him that he had changed his voice back to his normal voice. And I explained to him that he should be able to look at this parade and see all these guys dancing like women, dressed like women, talking like women in this parade and realize that there's nothing normal about this lifestyle. And he got very upset and he called me a faggot.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he was trying to insult me by calling me that, because I thought this was a normal lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that made him even more upset.
So, Will, yeah, they want to insult someone, so they say you're a homosexual, because they intuitively recognize that that's an insult, no matter what they do. You know, when they start having phony homosexual marriages, two women will be on the steps of the courthouse, and the one is dressed in a bridal gown and the other in a tuxedo. And you wonder, why are you dressing like a man and a woman? You're trying to deny that God made us male and female, and you're affirming how God created us even in the midst of your rebellion. That's what they do.
Yeah, the lesbians down there at the Pride Parade, they all had the shortest haircuts as possible. They were trying to look like men.
Trying to look like men so that the female lesbians will be attracted to them. And then we have, over the years, we've had homosexuals call in to this show, Bob and Yurt Live, and they will talk with their phony homo lisp, phony homosexual lisp. And I'll say to them, look, you're using a phony lisp. Talk normally. Talk the way you talk normally. And so then they will. Or I'll say, look, either drop the phony homo lisp or I'm going to hang up on you. And they talk completely normally like a guy, completely. And then after a couple few minutes, they realize and they start using their phony homo lisp again. And you'll say, look, talk like a man or it's over, and they'll talk like a man. So even that aspect of who they are is a lie. They're liars. And when you're perverse, lying is, of course, part of what you'll do to try to get people to buy into your perversion.
Yeah, it's all phony and it's all really sad. The amount of kids that were down there, the amount of kids in the parade being exposed to this was just unbelievable. And I really think this is something that Christians need to attend to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and to, at the very least, let these kids know that there is another side to this. And that's, I think that's always going to stick in their mind, is the opposition that they saw. It stood out to everybody.
Did you see the contrast between us and them? They were screaming at us. Well, one guy had like little mirrors pasted on a poster, and he was like, focus on the shiny things, it covers the hate, where the hate on our sign said come to Jesus, and his had the truth on it. And they were screaming that we hated them, but then they were attacking us and using the most vulgar, perverse things they could think of to fling in our face or do in front of us. And that's not hate. That's, what is it?
Love, I guess.
Yeah, that was the other theme. Everyone, it's all about love. And I'd say, yes, it is. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. But this is lust. It has nothing to do with love.
Yeah, it was really nothing but a circus. And there was nothing there to be proud of at all. Nothing at all.
Not one thing. I didn't see anything that was respectable. Not one person that was respectable. They, even when they approached us, they were on the verge of gagging. Did you notice when they wanted to talk to us, they were almost gagging? There were people, my sign said, come to Jesus for peace and salvation, and that got the whole group behind me talking about Jesus all the time. But they hated our Jesus, and they were very good at talking about how they hated our Jesus because he's a hater, but the Jesus of the homos is such a loving God, accepting. And it's just, they love perversity, and they have created a God that loves perversity.
Yeah, it was the same message over and over again. God is only love. Jesus is only love. You're not supposed to judge, blah, blah, blah.
I love my gay son. I said, no, you don't. You're letting him go to hell. You don't love him.
And so when you have a child molester and he says, look, this is my lifestyle. I was born this way. Do you think I would do this if I had a choice? And so what are they going to say to him? Well, God is love. God loves everyone. We respect everyone, and so who are we to judge? And so that is all a lie, and sadly that lie comes from Christians as often as from the world. It does. So that's the tragedy. Christians are helping to destroy their neighbors with a teaching on love that God abhors. Because God says in his word, let your love be without hypocrisy, hate evil. And if you say you love God with the same mouth that you love pornography, then you are filthy and you're trying to mock God. But God will not be mocked. And the New Testament says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The New Testament. Jesus said they will be beaten with stripes. Some with few stripes, others with many stripes.
You know, Bob, I've been going to the Gay Pride Parade since 1980. And every time it's over, I'm so relieved. And I don't have to think about it for another 300 days. I start worrying about it 2 months out because I just hate going because you don't know if you're going to be safe. You don't know what kind of filth you're going to see. But you can't not go because someone has to be there to represent the truth. Those kids are being recruited and their lives are in dire straits. They are in danger. You saw that yesterday.
Yeah, there was just so much support for this perverse, disgusting lifestyle. And there was so few people there trying to reach them and let them know the truth and, you know, rebuke them for what they were doing. And that has to change.
We meet kids all the time that don't know homosexuality is wrong. They've never heard it. They think they're in shock when we tell them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. And obviously they know what they're doing. They're recruiting and they're trying to convince these kids that, you know, becoming like this is fine. And it's not. It's very, very sad.
It's very sad. They're not just perverse. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. How do you teach a child anything when you don't know the difference between right and wrong?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Joe, for inviting me. And I'd like to encourage everybody to consider coming out each year to just be a light to this fallen world in such a dark place.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Will. It was great having you there.
Yeah, Will, thank you very much. And of course, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 talked about people who gave up what God had created for them for perversion, and they give themselves over to shameful lust. Women exchange the natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So, Joe, that's the New Testament.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians don't like God, His holiness, or His Old Testament, and they deceive themselves thinking that God changed between the Old and the New Testament. So we are about out of time. Joe Scott, thank you so much for joining us in studio.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Thanks for inviting Will Duffy yesterday to go downtown. And everyone you brought from Denver Bible Church, thanks for being a testimony and a witness for the Lord there.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. And later in the week, we'll ask Joe to come back to talk about her restraining order and how we could help out at the abortion clinic.